I want to talk to you this afternoon about learning to walk in the strength of the Lord. Learning to walk in the strength of the Lord. Go with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, and our text is actually in verse 2, but we'll go ahead and start with verse 1 and read in the verse 2. Isaiah 53, verse 1 says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground." And let's just stop there. "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground." Lord, I do want to take a moment just to pray, just to thank you for your faithfulness in all of our lives. And Lord, I lean upon you, God. I just pray that you'd help me, Lord, with this word that you put in my heart, that, Lord, you'd just help me to deliver it, God. And Lord, I pray that you'd place your hand upon it, the weight of your glory upon this word. Lord, that it would just find a place in our hearts tonight, God. And Lord, again, just thank you for your faithfulness as you are faithful to cultivate your character and your strength within our life. Thank you, God. And we give you all glory. God, we shout grace, grace. It's the grace of God that begun the work. It's the grace of God that will finish the work. Our only testimony is your grace. Thank you, God. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just begin by saying that when we receive the Lord into our heart and our lives by faith and repentance, that's when the Holy Spirit comes and he takes his habitation within our lives, and he begins to do the wonderful, glorious work of transformation in our lives. He begins to cultivate the very character, the very nature of Christ within our lives. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit begins to do in our hearts, in our lives, is he begins to cultivate the strength of God within our lives. And it's very important that he do this work. He begins to cultivate that strength of Christ in our lives, where more and more I'm not walking in my strength, and I'm not walking and standing in my strength, but I'm walking and standing in the Lord's strength. And the Holy Spirit's so faithful to do that work in our lives, and it's very important that he does that work in our lives, because, beloved, in our Christian walk, there are going to be times that we're going to have to stand in places where our own natural strength could never stand. And we're going to have to do things that our own natural strength could never do, and it's so important that we learn how to walk in the strength of God. And the Holy Spirit is so faithful to cultivate that heavenly strength, not the earthly strength, but the heavenly strength in our lives. And I do want to say that it is the work of the Lord. And it is the work of God, that he is the one who comes and begins to cause us to grow in his strength. You know, I think Jesus is our perfect example. Isaiah actually writes about Jesus as a child and the spiritual condition that Jesus grew up in as a child. He says in Isaiah 53, verse 2, he says, "For he shall grow up before God as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground." So Isaiah is describing the child Jesus two ways in verse 2. First, he calls him a tender plant. You know, in my mind, I can just see Jesus as a little boy. You know, as all little boys, he's full of zeal. He's full of vimp and vigor. You know, he's just so full of zest and zeal. And like every other little boy, he's probably into everything. But like all little boys, he's probably very delicate. He's probably very fragile, like a tender plant. And beloved, what I want us to realize is that the child Jesus was caught between two very powerful forces. He was, on this hand, he was caught between the Roman world. You know, at that time in the land of Israel, the Rome ruled in the land, and they were a very hard people, a very harsh people, a very tyrannical people. They were an iron-fisted people, and they were ruling in the land of Israel. And then on the other hand, you have the religious world, where you had the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and you had that whole self-righteous religious system that was just so suffocating. And right in the middle of these two worlds was the child Jesus. And how easily he could have been crushed in spirit between these two great powerful forces. But the Bible tells us that he shall grow up as a tender plant before him. And beloved, the word tender plant, you know, the word tender speaks of something that's very fragile, something very delicate. You know, a tender plant is something that can easily be crushed. It's something that can easily be trampled underfoot. But the Bible says that even though Jesus was caught in between these two powerful forces, and he could have easily been crushed between these two powerful forces, the arms of God wrapped around that little child. And God began to keep him, and God began to protect him. And not only did the Father keep him and protect him, but God caused him to grow in great spiritual strength. You know, Isaiah also says that he's a root out of dry ground. He says he shall grow up before the Lord as a root out of dry ground. Now, I want you to capture the picture that Isaiah is painting. The picture that he's painting is one of parched desert ground. Ground that hasn't seen rain in years, hot and cracked under the blistering desert sun. And this is the spiritual condition that Jesus grew up in. Yet the Bible tells us out of this dry, barren desert ground that offers no nourishment at all, there is a tender plant that's growing out of a root. And beloved, why can this tender plant grow in such harsh desert conditions? A spiritual desert, absolute spiritual desert. How can this tender plant grow out of this desert condition? Well, it says, he shall grow up before the Lord. In other words, he gains a spiritual nourishment, not from the earth, not from the world around him, but he gains a spiritual nourishment from his Father. He gains a spiritual nourishment from God. And beloved, this teaches us that no matter how barren and lifeless the world is around us, no matter how much death the world is around us, we can grow and become great in the things of God because God is our source. We have a source of life that the eyes of this world can't see. We are connected to an invisible heavenly vine, and he is supplying all of our nourishment, and he is supplying all of our growth. So it doesn't matter what death and desert we're growing up in. I'm telling you, when you're connected to God, you will grow and become great in the things of God. You know, I think about my mother's testimony. You know, she was born and raised in Chicago, and she was born in a horrendous desert. Her father was a horrendous alcoholic. Her brothers were heroin addicts. My mother used to tell me that she remembered seeing her brothers sitting around the kitchen table shooting heroin. And, you know, that was the desert that she grew up in. But when she was 10 years old, she got saved and fell in love with Jesus. She fell in love with Jesus, and in that horrendous desert, she began to cultivate a walk with the Lord. She told me, when I was 10 years old, I used to walk the slummy streets of Chicago because we lived in the bad side of Chicago at nighttime just to get to church. No one would take me to church. No one would go with me to church, but I wanted to go to church. So at 10 years old, I got my little Bible, my little purse, and I went to church. And I'm telling you, she grew up to be a great woman of God. Why? Because in all that desert and all that death, God put his protective arms around her. And he says, you are now connected to a heavenly vine, and you're going to grow and you're going to flourish, and I will be the source of your spiritual growth. Beloved, my point is God is the source of our spiritual growth. And in his faithfulness, he causes us to grow and become strong in his strength. So let's ask the question, well, how does the Holy Spirit cultivate the strength of the Lord in our lives? Well, there's a few answers that we can talk about, but the one that's in my heart is simply this. How does he cultivate the strength of the Lord in our lives? In the leading of Christ. It's as Christ begins to lead us. I want you to go with me to Isaiah. We're in Isaiah. Look with me at chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Look with me at verse 11. It says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall carry the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, close to his heart. and shall gently lead those that are with young. So this, when you look at Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11, this is a beautiful picture of the heart of Christ. It's telling us that as a tender shepherd, Jesus leads us in gentleness and he nourishes us in great tenderness. And verse 11 says, he shall gather the lambs with his arms. And beloved, we all know what a lamb is. A lamb is a baby sheep. That's what a lamb is. And to me, this speaks of Christians who have just been born again. Listen, we all start out as lambs. How many of you know that? We all start out as lambs. When we are first born again, we are a lamb in the kingdom of God. And the Bible says here that the Lord gathers his lambs in his arms because he knows they don't have the strength to walk. Listen, a lamb can only walk a short way and then it runs out of strength. And so the shepherd has to pick that lamb up close to his heart and start carrying him. And beloved, I want to tell you something. When we were first born and when we were first saved, Jesus picked us up and carried us a lot. There were just times we could only go so far in our strength and God, I can't go anymore. And he'd say, that's all right. And he'd pick us up and he would carry us. I want to tell you something. He carried us a lot when we were first born again. But how many of you know, in the natural, if a shepherd always carried the lamb, that lamb would never grow. And so the shepherd would have to stop sometimes and set the lamb down. He would set the lamb down in the field and he would let that lamb begin to graze and he would let that lamb begin to take nourishment and that lamb would begin to grow. And this is what the Lord, our shepherd, does. There are times he just sets us down in spiritual fields to graze and we begin to grow. Beloved, if you are a new believer here today, every time you come to God's house to worship and pray and sit under an anointed word, the Lord has set you down to graze in his spiritual fields. Every time you're in a place of fellowship with his people being built up, the Lord has set you down to graze in his spiritual fields. Every time you are in that quiet place opening your Bible and reading the word, the Lord has set you down to graze in his spiritual field. Amen. And listen, in that place of grazing in God's heavenly fields, something very powerful begins to take place in our life. And to see this, I want you to go with me to chapter 10, Isaiah chapter 10. Look with me at verse 27. Verse 27 says, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Amen. I just love that. Every time I read that verse, I get goosebumps. The yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Now, here's what I want us to understand. That word anointing, it actually means fatness. It literally reads this way in the Hebrew language. Your yoke shall be destroyed because of the fatness. So we have to ask the question, well, what does fatness have to do with yokes being broken off of your life? You know, what does fatness have to do with prison doors opening in your life and walking in places of freedom? I'm just not capturing that. What does fatness have to do with freedom? Well, what the writer is doing, what Isaiah is doing, is he's painting a picture. See, this picture he's painting is simply this. It's a picture of a little ox, and he's in a field, and he has this very strong yoke around his neck. It's a very strong yoke. It's a very solid yoke. It's a very confining yoke. But because this little ox is in a field, every day this little ox is grazing. Every day this little ox is eating grass, and because he's grazing and eating grass, what's happening is he's growing. And because he's growing, his neck is getting stronger and stronger. His neck is getting beefier and beefier. And I did look that up in the dictionary. There is such a word as beefier. His neck is getting beefier and beefier. Until one day his neck is so strong, so powerful, so beefy, that yoke can't hold it anymore, and it has to snap off and break and fall to the ground, destroyed. It's because that little ox is in that field grazing, and that neck is getting strong. And what Isaiah is simply telling us is this, that when we spend time in God's spiritual field, that when we spend time in God's heavenly field, this spirit man is going to begin to grow. And as the spirit man begins to grow, these yokes, these spiritual yokes around our spiritual necks are going to begin to break off and snap, and they can't hold us and contain us anymore because we're growing in our spirit man. Beloved, I've been walking with the Lord 22 years, and I can look back over this spiritual path that I've been walking on with the Lord. And in the spirit along this path, all along this path, I can see yokes that have been broken off of my life walking with Jesus, having a life in his word. I can see yokes of fear, fear that used to hold me, fear that used to captivate my life, but it doesn't captivate my life anymore. It's laying there as a broken yoke. Lies of the enemy that used to torment my mind and have my mind in captivity, I can look upon that spiritual path and I can see those yokes of lies that are just laying there broken. They have no more power over my life because I have been living in God's spiritual field. The spiritual man has been growing and yokes have just been snapping and breaking and breaking and breaking and breaking. Amen. God's spiritual fields and meadows are wonderful, powerful places to grow in our relationship with God and become strong in spirit. But also, I do want to say that if we're going to grow in the strength of the Lord, there will come a time in our walk with Christ where he sees the need to lead us out of grassy meadows and into something else. And oh, Pastor Tim, I know where you're going. Do you have to go there? Yeah, I have to go there. Because if when you've been walking with the Lord, you're going to find out it's not all grassy meadows. Amen. There's other times he sees the need to take us somewhere else. So where's he going to take us? Well, go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Oh, Pastor Tim, not Deuteronomy 8. Yep. We got to go there. Okay, we'll go there, but can you stay away from verse 2? Nope, verse 2 is where I'm going. This is Moses talking to the children of Israel. They're about to go into the promised land under Joshua and take the Canaan land. And he's talking to that generation. And he says in verse 2, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to prove you to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." Beloved, if we're going to grow in the strength of the Lord, there will come a time in our walk with Christ where he sees the need to lead us out of grassy meadows and into wilderness places. And why wilderness places? Why is there such a need for him to lead his people in wilderness places? Well, there's two reasons here found in verse 2. Look with me at verse 2. It says, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you." So number one, he leads us into wilderness places to humble us. You see, wilderness places are lifeless places and barren places, and they have absolutely no provision to offer us. And so therefore, we have no other choice but to look to God in absolute dependence for his provision. Beloved, this is what being humbled means. This is what humility means. It means recognizing that I have nothing in myself. I have no strength in myself, and therefore I have to look to God for his strength. That's wilderness places. And my point is, there's going to be times God is going to lead us in the wilderness places. There's going to be times he's going to lead us in places where we are so pressed into weakness. There are going to be times he's going to lead us into places where we are in just a place of great weakness, and we begin to recognize, listen, my strength can't take me through this. My strength can't stand in this. My strength cannot walk through this. Therefore, I have no other choice but to look beyond my strength and look to the Lord for his strength. Beloved, that is wilderness places. There will be times that God is going to press us into such places of weakness that I have to look to God for his strength. That I begin to realize, you know what? My strength is wretched strength. My strength is woeful strength. My strength is worthless strength. My strength can't stand in this place. My strength is helpless to help me in this wilderness that I'm in. I have no other choice but to begin to look to God for his strength. Beloved, that's a very powerful lesson to learn. Amen. To fix your eyes upon the Lord and begin to find your strength in the Lord. And that happens in wilderness places. And I want you to hear me. I believe this is when we begin to move from strength to great strength. When we start coming into that place where my eyes have been trained to stay upon the Lord and look to the Lord for His strength. Beloved, you see, in wilderness places, your eyes are trained to look to the Lord in absolute dependence. Capture that. That's what the Lord is saying. I led you into the wilderness to humble you. In other words, I led you into a place to train you where you're always looking to me for provision. You're always looking to me to be your source of strength. That's the power of the wilderness. So it's in wilderness places that the Lord trains us to look in absolute dependence upon Him. And then whatever season you are in, your eyes stay fixed upon the Lord. You know, Joseph is a perfect example. He was in the wilderness 13 years as a slave in Egypt, being humbled and having to find his strength in the Lord. But when he came out of prison and was sitting large upon the throne of Egypt, his eyes were still fixed upon God. When he came out of that wilderness place, when he came out of that place where every day, Lord, I have to find my strength in you, when he finally came out of that place and sat upon the throne of Pharaoh, sat upon the throne of Egypt, he was still looking to the Lord because his eyes had been trained to stay upon the Lord in desert places, beloved. As prince in Egypt, he didn't trust in Egypt for provision. He still looked to the Lord. And beloved, this is the power of the wilderness, that whatever season I am, whether on the mountain of blessing or in the valley of brokenness, my eyes and my complete dependence is only in the Lord. That's the power of the wilderness. Amen. Now look with me at verse 2 again. He says, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee." And then he says, "to prove thee, to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." So in other words, the Lord is saying, it's in the wilderness that it's revealed whether it's truly in your heart to obey me or not. You know, it's easy to obey the Lord in the meadows when he's giving you everything you want, when he's giving you everything you want. But when he leads you into wilderness places and God starts saying, "No, no, no, you can't have that. That's not for you." Is it still in our heart to love him and obey him? You know, that's when obedience is really proven. And you know, there's a few ways we can approach this verse, but the thought the Lord put on my heart is this. It's in the wilderness places where the strength to obey can only be found in the Lord. That if I do set my heart to obey in wilderness places, the strength to obey can only be found in the Lord. It's in wilderness places where something rises in my heart and says, "I can't obey this in my own strength. I have to look to the Lord and obey it in your strength." Amen. Wilderness places. You know, let me give you an example. The Lord starts speaking to your heart about how precious people are to Him. And you start growing in this revelation that, God, people are so precious to you. They're the greatest treasure of your heart. And God, as they are precious to you, I want them to be precious to me. And then the Lord starts speaking to your heart, "You know, they are precious to me. And I just want you to start being kind to people. Be kind to everybody. Everybody's in a battle and everybody just needs kindness." And we just say, "Oh, Lord, you're so right. I just want to be kind to everybody. Oh, I'm so kind to you, brother. I'm so kind to you, sister." But then the Lord puts somebody in your life who just has mean, nasty attitudes. And they do everything they can to make your life miserable. And suddenly you find out just that your heart isn't as kind as you thought it was. And you come to that place where you begin to tell the Lord, "Lord, I just cannot love them. I just cannot be kind to them. They're nasty to me every single day of my life, in the workplace, in my home, wherever. I can't be kind to them in my strength. Now, Lord, I'm having to learn to look to you for your strength." God, this is a wilderness, and I can only obey this command from you in your strength. So, Lord, I'm totally looking away from my strength now. And I'm asking you to teach me how to be kind to this person in the strength of the Lord. Beloved, that happens in wilderness places. Wilderness places are just places where you are humbled and you just recognize, "I cannot do it in my strength. And I have to start looking to the Lord for His strength." And let me just say, when you are in places where you have to look to the Lord's strength in order to obey, This is when you begin to move from strength to great strength. And can I say this? And I'm going to say it by experience. You may not get it right all the time. There may be times you absolutely blow it. You're like Peter. You walk on the water for a spell in supernatural strength only to find yourself sinking. But can I tell you, I truly believe sinking is part of the journey. And every time you sink, he lifts you up and you walk just a little bit further than you did the last time until the day comes you're not sinking at all. Amen. You know, I may go to work and get it right Monday and Tuesday. That old nasty attitude person. I'll be kind to you Monday and Tuesday, but then Wednesday, forget it. I sink. But then the Lord lifts me up. And then next month, you know, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, you know, let's add another day. I can be kind to the person Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, but come Thursday, you know. And the Lord says, well, let's lift you up again. Let's renew your strength. And then we make it to Thursday. And then we make it to Friday. And then one day we realize we're not sinking at all. Be nasty to me all you want to. I'm going to just cover you with kindness because I realize you are in a battle and Jesus can transform your life. Amen. You only learn that kind of strength in wilderness places. Now, there's one more scripture I want to go to. Just a personal scripture, a place that I'm at with the Lord right now. And I just want to bring it to you. Go with me to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Look with me at verse 10 and 11. Verse 10 and 11 says, but when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that told you, bade thee come, he may say to you, friend, go up to a higher place. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sitteth at meat with you. For whosoever exalt himself and shall be humbled, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Beloved, I've been feeling on my heart, I'm just in a season where I have been feeling the upward call in my heart. I've been sensing the Lord calling me to a higher place. Friend, come up higher. I've been sensing the Lord calling me to go to a deeper place of intimacy with Him, a deeper place of faith with Him, a deeper place of Christian purity with Him. And there's been a hunger in my heart to go with God to these deeper places, these higher places. But with this calling, there's come a great struggle with it. You see, I'm in a season with God right now where my failures have never been in front of my face like they are today. My shortcomings, my faults, all my weaknesses, I'm just seeing them over and over and over again. And on one side, I feel the call of God. Let's go to a deeper place, Tim. But on the other side, I've never been so aware of my weaknesses and my faults and my shortcomings and my failures. And there's just something in my heart that says, oh, God, I'm so hungry to go with you to these deeper places. Wherever you're calling me, I'm so hungry to go to these deeper places. But God, on the other hand, my weaknesses are just staring me in the face. My faults, my failures, my struggles, my imperfections, they've never been so before the eyes of my heart like they are today. And God, how do I get there? God, these deeper places that you're calling me to, Lord, how do I get to these deeper places? I don't know how to get there, God. I mean, all I see is personal weakness. All I see is failure. All I see is places where I just struggle with the imperfections that are in my life, places where I just haven't arrived yet, God. And yet I hear the call to go deeper. Lord, could you just tell me how to go to these deeper places? And the Lord spoke to my heart and he said, Tim, the answer's right there in the story. Look with me at verse 11. He says, for whosoever exalteth himself shall be humbled, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. And the Lord spoke to my heart and he said, Tim, how do you go with me to these deeper places? Humble yourself. There's nothing that you need to do. Your strength can't take you there. Your willpower can't take you there. I'm the only one that can take you there. And you just need to humble yourself. In other words, Tim, this is what you need to do. You need to look up into my face and say, God, it has to be all of you and none of me. I have no strength to give you. I have no effort to give you. God, I just take my eyes completely off myself and I put them upon you in total dependence. God, if I'm going to move into these deeper places, you're going to have to do it. I don't have anything to give you. And the Lord is speaking to my heart, Tim, that is all I need. I just need you to take your eyes off of you and put them fully on me and say, God, all of you and none of me. Beloved, if you're here tonight and you're sensing in your heart, God is calling you to a deeper place. But yet you can say to the Lord, God, I've never been so aware of my weaknesses and my struggles and my imperfections and my failures. You're in a good place. God designs it that way. He purposely designs it that way. Because that's the place where we humble ourselves and say, God, it can't be anything about me. I don't have strength to offer you. All I can say, Lord, is you have to do it. And God says, I'll do it. Amen. You'll just humble yourself. Stand with me this afternoon. Beloved, I do want to give an altar call. And the altar call is simply this, Pastor Tim, in my heart, I've been sensing the Lord calling me to a deeper place. A deeper place of intimacy, maybe a deeper place of faith, a deeper place of surrender. But I just don't have nothing in me that can carry me into these deeper places. And I just have to depend upon the Lord. And that's what I'm going to do. Tonight is my altar call where I'm just going to come and humble myself before the Lord and say, Lord, if you're calling me, you're going to have to do it. I don't have any strength to give you. I don't have any effort to give. I don't have anything to give you. All I have is a humble heart to say, God, I'm totally dependent upon you. So, beloved, if that's you, if you're in this boat with me, if you're sensing that call to go deeper, but you've never been so aware of your own weakness, and we just have to look to God, I want you to come and just join me in this altar. And we're just going to humble ourselves together before the Lord and just say, God, all of you, none of me. I just totally look to you in dependence, God. Totally look to you in dependence. Why don't you come as the musicians play? Why don't you come? And the Lord says, you are going to go deeper. And it's going to be my strength that carries you to deeper places. The Lord is saying that if you'll just totally just take your eyes off of you and place them upon me in absolute dependence, I'm going to take you to these deeper places. Let me just pray for you tonight, Lord. Lord, I see an altar full of people that are sensing the call to go to a deeper place with you, God. And it is your call. It's a call that you put out to their heart, God. It's not coming out of their own spirit. It's not coming out of their own strength. It's not coming out of their own heart. God, you are in heaven, and by the voice of the Holy Spirit, you are saying, I want you to come deeper. I want you to go deeper. And God, we're answering that call. We're here in this altar tonight saying, God, I hunger to go deeper. But yet, never have I been so aware of my own weakness. God, never have I been so aware of my weakness. And God, I stand before you with a sobering realization in my heart that there's no strength in me that can carry me to these deeper places. But God, I humble myself before you tonight. And I say, Lord, all of you and none of me. God, I totally look to you. God, I totally look to the power of the cross. God, your grace flows from the cross. God, your strength flows from the cross. I totally look away from my strength and I look to your victory, God. And I'm just asking, Lord, as I totally take my eyes off myself and I put them upon the triumph of Christ, God, in this place of humility, God, all of you and none of me, God, would you begin to carry me deeper? God, would your grace just begin to pick me up and carry me into deeper places, God? Father, I thank you for the call to my heart that I can go deeper in you. And I thank you, God, I don't have to depend upon my strength. God, I can totally set my strength out of the way and look to you and say, God, you're the one who's going to be faithful. God, I stand upon your word. It's you who works in me both to will and to do of your good pleasure. It has nothing to do with my strength. It has to do with the grace of God working in my life. And God, we look to your grace. We look to the power of your grace. We look to the strength of your grace and say, God, if you're calling me deeper, so be it. I'll go deeper, not of anything in myself, but by the grace of God. God, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by your spirit. And God, every mountain of impossibility that tries to stand up in my life and say it's impossible, I point at that mountain and I shout, grace, grace to that mountain. It's the grace of God that began the work. It's the grace of God that finished the work. And I can be confident that he which begun a good work in me, he will be faithful to complete it. I thank you. I thank you. Beloved, let's just take a moment just to worship the Lord. Just to thank him for his faithfulness. If he's called you to go deeper, he's going to take you to deeper places. And it's going to be by the power of his grace and his strength. So let's just take a moment just to worship the Lord for his faithfulness tonight.